You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Wednesday, as promised. We are back with a big guest, and we're going to open up with him. But before we do, Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. But as promised, we have Johnny Avello, the man over at DraftKings Sportsbook. He's the guy that runs it all. So, Johnny, thanks for joining us again, man. Super excited to have you.
Hi, Isaiah. Good to be with you again.
So Michigan basketball is obviously what we're going to talk about there, because, you know, as much as I'm sure that some sports books have some spring football props and whatever, obviously that would be ridiculous. So let's get into a little bit about the state of the NCAA tournament, especially as it pertains to Michigan basketball. I don't think a lot of people expected Michigan to make it to the Sweet 16. I had Michigan going into the Sweet 16 in my bracket personally, but that's where it ends for me. For you, as someone who's been following along with all of this, obviously you're looking at the betting lines. I know that Tennessee was favored in this last game. Are you surprised to see Michigan here first and foremost?
Well, first of all, Isaiah, let's talk about the tournament as a whole. It's, you know, I said this was going to be probably the biggest event of all time for sports betting, and it's sure shaping up to be that. The handle on the first 4 days of the tournament, last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, was off the charts. And the customers, I guess, couldn't wait to get this tournament back to being normal. When I say normal, that's playing the play-in games on Tuesday, Wednesday, the tournament starting on Thursday instead of Friday and playing on Monday. And, you know, everything being as it was in the past. And so far, it's lived up to my expectations. Now for Michigan, you know, we coming in, there's very few teams that have a 17 win record that make it to the tournament. In order to do that, you must have to play a pretty hefty schedule. And that the Wolverines do, and did during the course of the year. You know, the first game against Colorado State, they were behind most of that game, then finally started to run their offense towards the last 6-7 minutes of the game, pulled ahead, and they were in good shape. The Tennessee team they beat, that's an extraordinary win. Tennessee was not only playing very well, and goes in and goes through the SEC, which is a very tough conference, but picked as one of the team's outsiders to probably advance and maybe win the whole thing. So I thought Michigan did a great job handling that talented team. And I think a lot of that has to do with being, you know, having that tough schedule behind you, kind of being bulletproof, so to speak.
Now with Tennessee, I was looking earlier at what you had as Michigan's odds to win it all. Where was Tennessee's odds to not just to win that game, but to win it all before Michigan came in and upended them? Do you know offhand? You don't have to, if you don't know offhand, then.
No, Tennessee's odds were around the 18-1 range. That's where they were sitting. They were 40 probably 2 weeks prior to that. So they took significant drop. There was plenty of play on them, not only to win it all, win the region, and advance to the Final Four.
Now, like you said, the breadth of the tournament has been really interesting. It's interesting seeing teams like Kentucky go down. My bracket isn't completely busted, but pretty close, because two of my Final Four teams were Big Ten teams. Right now, there's two left in from the Big Ten in the NCAA tournament. Like I said, I have Michigan going out after this weekend, but Purdue's the only other one that's kind of standing, neither of which I had in my Final Four. But just with all of these different upsets that we've seen in this exciting, like you said, the bettors have been really excited about it, but where does this stack up to you as far as tournaments that have this level of excitement?
Normal, Isaiah. Normal. because this tournament is exciting every year. And this is nothing new. There's always a couple of teams that pull off some huge upsets and make a little bit of a run. When you do look at this tournament as a whole, you still have Houston, Arizona, Arkansas, Gonzaga, Duke, and Tech, Michigan, of course. A lot of these teams, and then on Friday, you know, you've got North Carolina, UCLA. These are all teams that we're very familiar with. I think the only teams that are kind of are, when you look at both days, who are maybe outsiders in there would be Iowa State and Florida, Miami, Florida, who get to play each other, by the way. So somebody there is moving to the Elite Eight. And that St. Peter's team, that they're the other outsider. But I don't think anybody's that surprised to see a Michigan team in this spot. They were capable of winning the first game, and second game was certainly an upset. But they have the horses, and they have the background this year to show that they can beat good teams. They've beaten all the best teams in the Big Ten, which is certainly one of the better conferences in basketball.
Now, with that in mind, you had Michigan at the beginning of the season as plus 1,400 to win the entire thing. Now they're plus 6,000, which I think is absolutely fair given the trajectory of this team. They obviously would have a really tough road to hoe here in the sense of there's Villanova next, then either Houston or Arizona just to get to the Final Four. How do you see Michigan's prospects? I mean, you've watched a lot of this team. You've watched a lot of all of these teams. What do you see Michigan's prospects being going into this Villanova game?
Well, first of all, you mentioned the odds, and I like to clarify that because sometimes it's very confusing. That plus 6,000 and plus 1,200. They actually opened up, and for people out there who don't understand some of these odds, sometimes if you take off those back two zeros, that's actually their odds, 12 to 1. They opened up 12 to 1 at the beginning of the season. So they were, in our eyes, a contender to win the whole thing. And as the season went on, the odds continued to get risen, and they were up to, 150 to 1. And then they came down, and now they're back down at 60 to 1, which is plus 6,000. So, the way I size up this team is they've had a really nice run, and so has the team they're playing, Villanova. This has the makings to be a very, very tight game, a one-bucket game. We did open this game up 4. We got pushed to 5. I think there's going to be plenty of Wolverine money here on the money line. I think the bettors are going to take a shot with Michigan winning this game straight up. But I think it's a tight game, and the 5-point spread, just because we got pushed there, that doesn't mean that, you know, from 4 to 5, that doesn't mean that to bet against Michigan. It just means that someone out there thought that the 4 was a little on the cheap side, but this game, this line could come back to even 4.5 or even back to 4.
So this isn't a game in which, like, because I look at it and I'm like, well, Villanova's just on another level compared to Michigan. You're not looking at it that way at all. You're looking at it as Michigan's got a shot.
Yeah, well, you know, you want to size up conferences here. Let's size up conferences. You know, Big East versus Big Ten. If I think the Big Ten's the stronger conference of the two. Villanova, you know, great run, winning their tournament. Everything's looking good so far, but Michigan will not run away here.
Well, I am as curious as anyone, but before we let you go, with the rest of the field out there, who are your best bets? Not necessarily who's got the best odds, of course, but who are your best bets if someone's placing a late wager on a team to either make it to the Final Four or win it all? Like, who would you pick? Just give me a handful of teams there.
Okay. Houston's playing Arizona. I find that an interesting game. I think Houston, who had a tremendous year, as well as Arizona. I think, you know, I think Houston's live there. I mean, anybody could pick a one seed, but, you know, I think Houston's an outsider that could do a little bit of damage. You know, Duke's on their last run with Krzyzewski. I know they want to play hard for him. It's rare to find Duke as a favorite at this spot, but they are, I mean, an underdog. They are an underdog here at the Texas Tech, a one-point underdog. St. Peter's has had a remarkable run, and I think everybody will be rooting for them. But, you know, this is a tough task here. They shot over 50% against Kentucky from normal shooting and over three-point land. Didn't shoot as well against Murray State and won that game. They out-rebounded them, but now they're gonna, against Purdue, they're going to have to go back to that type of shooting and that type of rebounding, both to win a game like this. And then Providence, to me, is another team that's kind of live. I know Kansas is in an easier bracket, but I don't think Providence is scared to play Kansas here. I think this could be another one of those really tight games. So I think there's some dogs still in this tournament that are live. Got to get by this round here. They could even do further damage, but they're up against some really hefty matchups.
Well, I am very excited to see how this next weekend, or, you know, I guess starting on Tuesday or Thursday, tomorrow, how this all plays out. Definitely want to have you back, especially if Michigan can find a way. Definitely want to continue to discuss what the smart plays are. Johnny, thank you so much for joining us again, man. I really, really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Isaiah. Have a good day. Fun week.
Indeed.
It's Johnny Avello, head of DraftKings Sportsbook. Appreciate him coming on and giving us some insight as to what we can expect. I did not anticipate that he was going to be as bullish on Michigan against Villanova, because you look at the stats, it just doesn't really. Yeah, but then again, I mean, that's why they play games for a reason, you know? We'll get into all of that here momentarily. We'll react, and then we'll get into some spring football stuff, because we talked to Jesse Minter and Steve Klinkscale earlier today. So we'll get to all of that momentarily, but before we do, I love and I hate those buzzer beaters, the drama. But oh, the pain when you're on the other side of it. That's what happened in really any of the, whether it's St. Peter's versus Kentucky. I mean, granted, like, yeah, busted my bracket open, but whatever. Stat Heroes NCAA single game pick'ems pits the star players against each other, an amazing hybrid between fantasy and sports gambling. Take control back from those handicappers that always seem to have the advantage. Start focusing on the players you know best with the gameplay that doesn't rely on big spreads, long odds, or funky props. Stat Hero gives you the advantage, resulting in their gamers winning four times more often. Why? Because Stat Hero eliminates the mystery about who or what you are going up against. In addition to their pick'em games, they also have dozens of lineups that you can comb through to take on head-to-head. They simply post sets of players for you to take on with a set of players you choose. Stat Hero is the easiest and fastest way to get your sports action fixed. The simple, sleek gameplay will have you playing in minutes. This is what daily fantasy was meant to be. So sign up for free right now. StatHero.com/LockedOn. Use the promo code LockedOn for a 100% deposit match. That's StatHero.com/LockedOn. Promo code LockedOn for a 100% match. StatHero.com/LockedOn. Promo code locked on. Terms and conditions apply. Also want to tell you a little something about Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar. I have bought dozens of boxes of my own money, my own volition, despite them being a sponsor, because I believe in the product that much. It is something that I just get super into, obviously. If you don't know what it is, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's high protein, low calorie, low carb. I can have two, and it can be a meal replacement with 230 calories or 260 calories rather, and 40 grams of protein. Everything I need is probably what I'm going to finish out my night with tonight, since I'm close to my caloric limit, and I think it's about the same amount of calories as my protein shakes. So there. So that's the great thing about it. So join me in my love for Built Bar. Go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. That's built.com. Promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off of your next order of Built Bar. All right, let's continue on. I love how I always close windows that I need. It happens so often. Johnny was obviously very bullish, saying, you know, hey, you know, Michigan played that really, really hard schedule. It's kind of prepared them for the tournament. 19-14 team now. Obviously, 17-14 going in, playing up against 28-7 Villanova, who's 8th ranked offense according to KenPom and 30th ranked defense. Again, by contrast, Michigan's 19th. So good offense, but it's not like when it was playing Tennessee, for instance, 37th offense, 3rd defense. But we've seen Michigan obviously have luck against good defenses, and we've against good offenses, we've also seen them because, like, hey, you look at Ohio State, 13th ranked offense, not ranked quite as highly, but 13th ranked offense slowed them way down. Iowa, one of the two times they played, were able to slow down the 3rd ranked offense. So Michigan does have that experience, and I do think that that is something that is important. Purdue, the number 2 offense, Michigan obviously defensively were able to clamp down. So, but I think the difference is when you look at some of these other teams, Tennessee was pretty balanced for the most part. Iowa's and Purdue, not balanced. Their defenses aren't nearly as good. Illinois is balanced 30-25, but again, Michigan didn't beat them either time. That kind of felt like a team. It kind of reminded me of Indiana back when Michigan was making its first run, in the sense of Michigan just couldn't seem to get past them. Ohio State is nowhere close to balanced, 13-110. San Diego State, terrible offense, number 2 defense. So that is pretty much the bulk of the really good teams that Michigan's faced. They haven't seen a balance like this. So that in and of itself plays a difference. Now, if you get past Villanova, congratulations. You've got 2 other teams beyond that that are also have equal amount of balance. Houston is 10-10. Arizona is 7-19. It's not going to get any easier. So Michigan's going to have to stay really patient. Michigan's going to have to find a way to get its shot, get into its sets, do what it wants to do, be unselfish with the basketball, and have big playmakers make those big plays when they need to. I think one of the big keys, and this was talked about in the press conference earlier today with Juwan Howard, is defending without fouling, because Villanova is such a good free throw shooting team. But hey, you know what? I know Johnny, I think he came on before the... I think it was before the Ohio State game and kind of made it sound like, yeah, Michigan doesn't stand a chance. So he was 0-for-1 coming onto the show. We're not going to hold that against him because I think pretty much everyone was feeling that, right? You know, I mean, there were certainly homers out there that were like, yeah, Michigan's going to win that game. Most people were not thinking or feeling that. I certainly wasn't. I thought Michigan was going to lose against the Buckeyes. So that's not a knock against him. That's just, you know, we were wrong about the Michigan football team. That said, I'm surprised that he thinks this one's going to be a pretty even game. If Michigan can, that's all Michigan can really do at this point, is find a way to continue to survive in advance. If you get past Villanova, then you deal with the next thing the next day. And clearly this is a Michigan team that is starting to kind of figure out what it can do as a collective. Now, it's going to need to, again, fire on all cylinders. It's going to need some great bench play. It's going to need Terrence Williams to come out. It would be great to see some kind of production from Brandon Johns. Frankie Collins is going to have to come in and spell Devontae Jones and kind of do his thing. And if they can get those 3 guys and maybe like an extra like 3 or 2 from Kobe Bufkin, then that's going to be a big help. On top of that, you can't have Musa Diabate getting in foul trouble. You can't have Hunter getting in foul trouble. Caleb Houston needs to score. You know, it can't be he goes 0-for from the field or, you know, has 2 points or whatever. They are going to need all hands on deck, and it's going to have to be that way from here on in. It has to be. You're in the Sweet 16. There are 16 teams left. You are facing the creme de la creme. Michigan isn't the best team left in the field, but it is one of 2 11 seeds, if I'm not mistaken. And then there's only a 10 seed left in Miami, and then an 8 seed in North Carolina. The rest of them, high-end seeds. But again, Michigan playing in the Big Ten, that can help them against a Big East team. Probably not going to help against Houston. Maybe. I mean, there aren't a lot of American teams that they have to face, but Houston's obviously really, really good. But if it's Houston, then there's that. Pac-12, that's a little bit tougher. But nonetheless, it's going to be some tough sledding from here for the Wolverines. They just survive in advance. You know, that's all they need to do. And get production from where you can get it. and have multiple guys do things and then continue to play the style of defense that really helped you in these last couple games. It was great seeing these multi-minute droughts against Colorado State as well as Tennessee. And I mean, we saw that near the end of the season too with Ohio State that just could not seem to get much of anything going. All right, so let's talk football here for a moment because obviously we got some, when you talk to Jesse Minter, Steve Klinkscale, lots of really great stuff coming out of that. We'll give my takeaways from that. But listen, this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing on the brand, only the brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They've served me. I saw an email from them the other day. I'm like, that's right. I haven't had any problems with my car, so I haven't. My Durango has been beautiful, so I haven't had any issues. My Cadillac? It's going to Rock Auto every month. But they have everything you can need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. So go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com. Also, the NCAA tournament full swing. Sweet 16 starts tomorrow, Thursday. Very excited about that. From all the latest odds, contests, and player props, BetOnline.net is the number one source for all your sports betting needs and info. BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. It's not just basketball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's spend our last couple minutes discussing some takeaways. I was very, very impressed by Jesse Minter, the new Michigan defensive coordinator. Also, very obvious when you see him in person. This is a young guy again. This was the first time I have even seen him in person. But I thought he was very impressive. And it does seem like, yeah, guess what? Michigan is going to be running the same defense, but as he was asked right off the top, is this basically year two of the defense? And he's like, yeah, this is. And he spent a lot of time interfacing with Mike McDonald, as he's noted, you know, from their days in Baltimore. They're good friends. Said they were starting to talk about first just stuff that was happening in Ann Arbor, and then suddenly things were changing, and Mike McDonald's going to Baltimore, and then suddenly the conversation shifts to Jesse Minter going to Michigan. So he's filled him in on a lot of the things as far as scheme and personnel and things of that nature. But really encouraged by some of the things that he said, like talking about the players who have really stepped up, really seems to think very highly of Mozzie Smith and Mike Morris. It seems like when it comes to the confidence of this team, it's, you know, we hear about the offense, but hearing these defensive coaches talk, because obviously we also talked to Steve Klinkscale, it does feel like they feel like not like most people. Right, I think that a lot of us are like, well, the defense is going to take a step back. They don't seem to be thinking that way. They seem to be thinking we can take a step forward, right? Like, yeah, no, we don't have Aiden, but we can have multiple guys pick up that production rather than settling for like Aiden and Ojabo being those two guys. And they feel like, okay, we've got a lot of pieces that could really work. They're really happy with the front seven, and that's not to say that they're not happy with the back four, because it sounds like things are picking up where they left off there. And it's great to hear Steve Klinkscale say Jamon Green has really emerged as a leader and he's really playing just a fantastic brand of football. DJ Turner, he said, has needed a little bit of a kick in the you know what to not be complacent, but he's seeing everything he wants to see from him now. You've got a couple safeties that are looking really good in RJ Moten and Makari Page. Remember that Rod Moore is currently injured. As far as linebackers go, he only mentioned one, but he said Junior Colson has an opportunity to be an elite linebacker for us. And you also have to feel good about the defensive backs in the sense of, and I know I'm was moving backwards to forwards and just kind of went back again, but I think with the defensive backs, it's not only that you have Steve Klinkscale, who's already had a great track record, You also have Jesse Minter working with him. And Klinkscale reminded us, hey, I got here late last year. You have to keep in mind, he did get here after, you know, Mo Linguist gone after spring as the new head coach of Buffalo. He's like, Steve Klinkscale's like, I was here just a few weeks before fall camp, and then I had to get acclimated to everything. So now I can go in and I can start doing the things that I would normally do, and we can improve upon the things that we have done. And I think the my favorite things that came out of this press conference was a mixture of either of them talking about Ohio State. Now, Minter's was prompted. I asked him, you know, what, you know, how have you acclimated yourself to the rivalry? And he said, well, it's beat Ohio every day. So we do drills every day in order to focus on beating them. This is part of the job, is beating Ohio State. And understanding, like, hey, they know what it feels like to have beaten them now. We're just going to have to try to build on that. Perfect. Pitch, perfect. Steve Klinkscale, unprompted. We gave up too many passing yards to them. Yeah, we beat them, and they gave up 394 passing yards. But, like, hey, we need to be a lot better against the pass against Ohio State. If Michigan's defense can manage to do that, and it sounds like they're prepared, if they don't necessarily get the sack production that they got last year, they're prepared to just still be as solid and still be, they have different things that they're working with. And it's the defense will look essentially the same, if not similar, but as Minter and Klinkscale kind of said, we have the options to do, you know, to do more. We can build off of what we saw year one with Mike McDonald. So I came away psyched. I came away feeling like this is going to potentially go a lot better than what people think. And I know people looked at Minter. I remember when he was hired looking at, you know, these Buckeyes, you know, lauding Jim Knowles and laughing, ha, 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 Vanderbilt's guy. Listen, when you're playing with, like, Eastern Michigan talent, if that, in the SEC, it's not going to look very good. Vanderbilt never looks particularly good. And yeah, especially you have to play against Georgia, you know, who won the national championship. So give him some horses and let him run. I think it could be really, really good. All right. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back on Thursday after the game doing, our takeaways from whatever happens, Michigan versus Villanova. We'll do the mailbag on Friday, and we will figure out what we need to do from there. All right, so that'll do it for us today. Thank you for watching and or listening. We will talk to you soon. Peace.